Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Welcome to the Billboard Chartbeat Podcast. Gary Truss, Billboard's co-director of charts.
And hey guys, it's Trevor Anderson, a chart manager here at Billboard.
And this is where we look at why what's on the charts is on the charts. A lot to get to this week. Yael and Dave Penn from Hitsong's Deconstructed are back. They were on last week. Deconstructing Havana by Camila Cabello. Going to go back with more looking at really the most notable trends in the first part of this year on the Hot 100. In the top 10. Also, a huge week for rap in the top 10 this week. We'll look at that, and we'll look at where it stands historically as well. We'll go to our new Chartbeat podcast hotline, 212-493-40-1. Another great listener question, so we'll answer that. And what are we flashing back to this week, Trevor?
This week, we're going to flash back. We're going to start in 1976, so we're going back about four decades, close to Gary's birth year.
Almost.
Yeah. So we're going to look at a hit from 1976. And from there, we're going to jump into a discussion about songs that sample number one hits. So if you're a fan of old school music or new school music, you should find some songs that relate to you.
All right. A lot going on this week, but two other things to get to first. BBMAs, Billboard Music Awards were Sunday, but even before that, something even, I'm not going to say bigger than that, but is top of mind. In the last week, I know I'm probably late on this, but I just got to ask you, Trevor.
Laurel.
Yanny or Laurel?
Oh my God! Yeah,
passed the trend already.
This is late, Gary. This is tardy. No,
it's Tuesday when we're taping this. Thursday when it's going to post.
To answer the question, you know, it's funny. The first day, all I could hear was Yanny. Instantly, Yanny. Okay, what's Yanny? And then the next day I heard Yanny the first time, and somebody played it for me, and I swear to God, looking at this like psychological phenomenon, because I'm sure it's a thing, I like forced myself to hear Laurel, and I've never been able to hear anything but Laurel since. It was so stupid. I was kind of mad, because I was like proud to be on Team Yanny.
I'm exclusively Yanny.
Really?
Yeah.
I mean, I wonder also, you know, I feel like if I've heard bad audio versions of it or mixed audio versions or something, like I need to go find like the one pure clip. But I think, I feel like I'm on Team Laurel at this point. I'm kind of mad.
Aaron, Ernie Winter?
I think I've heard both of them. Like the Laurel one is like
Laurel.
It's like a deep voice, and the Yanny is like a high voice.
You're not gonna really listen for it. You're not going to imitate Yanny?
Like Yanny.
Okay, the Laurel was better, but
yeah,
solid.
So I'll go with Team Laurel.
Yeah, there you go. I guess in some ways relates to music in that people are saying that everyone hears everything differently. So maybe song-wise, we all think we're hearing the same music. Maybe we're all hearing some of the biggest hits ever differently.
Could be.
All right. BBMAs were Sunday Billboard Music Awards 2018. I thought it was a great show. Trevor, any highlights that you had specifically?
I thought Salt and Pepper was great. It's always kind of nice because they always recently have people noticed to try to keep a, keep an older act around, sort of do a tribute segment of it, and it feels like this year particularly with Janet being around. Obviously, we've seen like some '90s influence and songs, most prominently Finesse, come around. Obviously, Salt and Peppa being female rappers, and we've seen the explosion of Cardi B in the past year. So it was a nice sort of thematic tie-in, I think, to a lot of things that were going on that made it just, you know, a more unified show in a lot of ways than maybe just a random spattering of some of these old legends and new disconnect between the new sounds and the old sounds. And I thought that was a good part for sure.
Yeah, I thought that was great. That was kind of interesting how there was this sort of mini comeback element to not only Taylor Swift, but Sam Hunt, too. Really hadn't heard from either of them in that kind of a public setting in a long time.
We got to stop. What is a comeback?
Well, in this case, specifically meaning, and Taylor said it herself, you know, I haven't been on an award show in a few years. And Sam Hunt, just until last week, hadn't put out a new song since Body Like a Back Road. And it really just a lot of questions. Is he going to have a new album out? Is he going to have another single? You have a 34-week record number one on the country chart and then kind of disappear for a year. It's a somewhat of a comeback.
Because comeback always, you know, historically kind of meant somebody who had was hot,
right,
fell apart. And now, you know, against all odds, we never thought we'd hear from Tina Turner again, Mariah Carey again, Natalie Cole again. But people, like, threw that around when, like, Adele was making her return with 25. And it was like, oh, Adele's comeback song. It's like, Adele was never not huge.
Well, in a social media era, if you're away for a few months, it's like you disappear, the whole cycle.
Maybe we need a different word for comeback then.
I guess reemergence. Is that better?
We need something a little catchier for the Twitter era, but I think you're onto something.
But I kind of felt that. It felt like, wow, she's here again. We've heard the music. Reputation came out, but she didn't do interviews. We haven't seen her on award shows. To suddenly see her back talking to us one-on-one, it was kind of like, oh, right. She's not just the voice we hear. She's a real person. And she acknowledged that herself.
Yeah, now I do agree with that, that obviously seeing her sort of back in the flesh at a major event was like, okay, this is real. Like, here she is. She was still bubbly. She's still friendly. She was still supportive of female nominees and female artists. A lot of the same sort of rhetoric and everything that we saw from 1989 and before. It's still dancing in the audience to the crowd.
Luis Fonsi's speech was great. Seemed so humble that everyone had taken to a Spanish language song, Despacito. It seemed really genuine. The Parkland Choir, seeing them sing. We've talked about that Shine song that they recorded.
You know, one thing I've also, sorry, back to Fonsi. One thing that I've sort of in a way appreciated, and I don't know how intentional it is or whatnot, but it's almost in a way kind of nice that Justin Bieber has not been around for these big moments. And I mean that not because I don't like Justin Bieber or don't appreciate what he did for the song, but I think in a way Justin has consciously decided to, like, let Luis Fonsi and Daddy Yankee, like, have that moment, like,
right,
like let people sort of remember it was their song originally. That's how it came through. That's, you know, people were gravitating towards that. Obviously, would it have been the hit that it was without Justin Bieber? 99% probably not. But it wouldn't have existed without Fonsi and Yankee. And I think that's kind of nice for Justin Bieber not to have, you know, made a point to be at the Grammys and
right. Made
a point to sort of make it to where the attention would be all about him. So shout out to Bieber for that. I think that's a really mature thing to do if that's the plan. But I think if any case, it's probably a good PR move. I think it wins him some goodwill points.
Yeah, good point. The other thing I was thinking when I was watching, I saw Camila, obviously she was on stage, and then Normani. I was looking for reactions. Like, going to show the other person while the other person's up on stage. But then we found out later that they were taking pictures together. So after the split of Fifth Harmony, Camila and Normani were seemed really happy together. So it just felt very heartwarming.
I think from what I saw, there was one reaction shot right before Camila started performing of Normani. They panned to her. But I also wonder, you know, in that moment, it's so funny because I bet Normani must have been thinking, like, be cool.
Right.
That, you know, the camera's going to be on you. I just wonder, like, what is that like to be in an award show? Because if I were in an award show, of course, I'm nobody, so I wouldn't be thinking about what, you know, people are going to say or do or think. But it's just so, you know, when Kelly Clarkson starts singing that medley and, like, your song comes up and you're like, gotta play cool. Like, you know it's going to be on. What is that like to have to sort of be that conscious? I would love to ask a celebrity about that.
It's your goal, Trevor, to be that famous that people are looking at your reaction for everything that happens.
Yeah, that I got to be on 24/7 thinking about it.
All right. So, yeah, great BBMAs this year. Let's move on to this week's top 10 on the Billboard Hot 100.
10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2,
number 10.
Don't you look perfect tonight?
Number 9.
I'm out here with the whoops.
Number 8.
103 I-5s. Look alive, look alive. Niggas came up on this side. Now they on the other side.
Now I'm out of Number 7.
I'm not being like all the time. And none of the tears of the crime. So I'm picking it up, picking it up. Why don't you just meet me in the middle?
Number 6.
I'm losing.
Number 5.
So come on, ride with me, ride with me. See where this thing goes. So come on,
go outside, call a mama bad like Michael. Can't
Number
really
four.
Trust nobody with all this jewelry on you. My roof look like a no-show. Got diamonds by the polo. Don't act like you my friend when I'm rolling through my hands.
God's plan. God's plan.
Number 3.
I hold back, sometimes I won't. Yeah. I feel good, sometimes I don't. Hey. Finesse down Western Road, hey, next.
You really piping up on these niggas, you gotta be nice for what to these niggas, I understand.
Number
you got
100
bands, you got a baby bands, you got some bad friends, high school pics, you was even bad then, you ain't stressing.
This is America, don't got you slipping
and
up.
Number 1.
Look how I'm living up, police be tripping up, yeah, this is America. My area.
2 weeks in a row now at number 1 for Childish Gambino and the song This Is America. Remember, the song debuted at number 1 last week. Childish Gambino's first number 1 hit on the Billboard Hot 100. Drake down to number 2 once again this week with Nice For What, and at number 3 as well with the song God's Plan. So a nice trio of current and former number 1 hits right there. And at number 4, the ever popular Post Malone, holding steady at number 4 with Psycho featuring Ty Dolla $ign. Now, of course, if you know your genres and your hit makers, that is 4 rap songs for 4 in the top 4 this week. So, they're actually the same top 4 songs we had last week, as I'm sure our loyal viewers of the podcast know. And of course, by viewers, I mean listeners, because you're not really viewing anything except right now maybe some sort of Billboard chart beat podcast still image that has been there for the past X number of minutes. But our loyal listeners, of course, know that those were the same top 4 songs as last week. And until last week, the top 4 slots had not all been occupied by rap songs since, believe it or not, 2009. Chart Fan wrote in to Gary, uncovered that statistic that February 28th, 2009, you'd have to go back that far to find the last time the top quartet was all rap songs. Pop quiz, if you actually, Gary, do you know the 4 songs? Do you know any of the 4 songs?
I wrote about them.
Okay, well, okay. Let's see if Gary,
was I just typing, or was
I
actually paying attention?
Did he digest this information and work with it?
I know Right Round, Florida was number 1.
That is correct, with an uncredited Kesha.
Dead and Gone, T.I., Justin Timberlake was in there.
That's correct, yeah.
Crack a Bottle.
By?
Eminem, Dr. Dre, and 50 Cent.
That's it, okay, all right. He's in some ways the hottest rapper of the moment. Maybe not for his raps, though, at the current time.
Oh, Mr. Twitter. No, Kanye West.
Kanye West.
Oh, Heartless.
The song right. Heartless. Yeah. So Right Round, Dead and Gone, Cracker Bottle, and Heartless. The last time, until last week, we had 4 songs that were all rap songs in the top 4. Now, of course, as we move into the second week of this phenomenon happening, the last time we had back-to-back weeks, at least, with 4 rap songs in the top 4. We got to step back all the way to 2003. So we're looking back almost 15 years ago the last time. And really, that kind of makes sense. I guess that would be what most people would think about as like sort of the last major rap R&B heyday.
Right.
A lot of those rap sung collaborations in particular doing huge numbers there. So actually, for 3 weeks, in a row in 2003, there were four rap songs in the top four. Then the week after that, there were still four songs in the top four, but one of them swapped out for another song. So we're talking 5 weeks. Five songs over the course of 4 weeks. Can you name any of those rap songs that would have been hot? May 31st to June 21st is the range we're talking about.
Can we just celebrate the fact that I remember the 2009 rap songs?
We probably should. Okay, well, okay, we'll give you that, Gary. Fine. Okay, I'll break this down because it's maybe a little tricky.
Well, I was working in AC radio then, so I was all about Goo Goo Dolls and Vertical Horizon back then. This was a different world for me musically.
Whoa, Gary was not cool. Okay, this is what the cool kids were listening to in 2003. Okay, so the weeks of May 31st, June 7th, and June 14th on the Hot 100, the top four songs were 21 Questions by 50 Cent, Sean Paul's Get Busy, if we all remember that, Busta Rhymes, Mariah Carey, Flip Mode Squad, I Know What You Want, and Fabulous Can't Let You Go.
For a few years, shed a few tears, called each other nickname like Sugar Plum.
I know and like the Mariah song.
Of course, the lamb knows his carry.
There's some.
And actually, the week after that, June 21st, still 21 Questions, Get Busy, I Know What You Want in the top four, but Can't Let You Go by Fabulous had been swapped out for another 50 Cent hit, this time Magic Stick with Lil' Kim.
All right, since I'm not the rap expert here, but overall, just looking at those songs versus the current four, what's the main difference, Trevor, do you think, when you look at what's currently in the top four with Childish Gambino and Drake and Post Malone, just versus the sound or the artists who were in the top four back then 15 years ago? What stands out to you as the main difference?
I guess this makes me the relative expert on this. I mean, certainly the biggest thing probably about most of those songs in 2003 where they were much more bouncy, they were much more fun, they are much more, I mean, super summertime singles. I mean, 21 Questions, even though it, you know, it has a romantic bent to it, it kind of still had a fun edge to it. It was just kind of playful. I mean, if you remember the most famous line out of that song is "I love you like a fat kid loves cake." I think everybody, you know, one of those simple lines, but it's just kind of fun, playful. People liked it a lot. Get Busy, one of the big sort of dance hall Jamaican import songs of the year. That was just a total, you know, I feel like people just loved to dance when that song came on. That was just, I mean, you just could not enjoy that song. I Know What You Want has more of a groove to it, more of a bounce, but still something that throws back, kind of harkens to a classic era. And Magic Stick, of course, is, I mean, it's got a bounce to it as well. Definitely raunchy. It's not hard to think about what the Magic Stick is about. But for me, those songs had a fun element to them where, you know, just really, you know, just let loose, you know, roll the windows down, just have a good time. When you look at it today, and I mean, it's a little hard to base it off just these four songs, but obviously when you look at a song like This Is America, not intended to be, you know, just playing a groove, playing a bop. I mean, they obviously put some fun elements into the song,
right.
But at its core, it's a very, you know, socially aware, conscious video.
And that shift from the happy sounds to the darker parts shows that these are the times we're in now. Pointing that out literally in the song, by the way it shifts.
Yeah, I mean, definitely like a very conscious effort on his part to put a lot of styles into it. I mean, not to oversimplify some of those songs in 03, but they kind of had one groove and they rode with it. I mean, This Is America, much more complex, just not even in its narrative and its lyrics, but in its production creation.
Right.
Nice for what, you know, because that's more of a bouncy kind of song. That's more fun. It does have, there's a social bent to it, you know, if you listen to the lyrics, sort of, you know, how it's sort of championing women, you know, to do what they want and not have to play nice and not have to give into these norms. So there is a little bit of that even in a song that's really bounce, New Orleans inspired. God's Plan. I mean, it's not, you know, God's Plan, not necessarily a fun song, I guess, either. I mean, not very melodic. You know, I think one of the things that we pointed out here and other places, you know, not a central hook, not a melody, not something like those songs back in 03. I mean, you basically had, I mean, Nate Dogg helping 50 Cent with a memorable chorus. Magic Stick had a memorable chorus. Mariah, I Don't Know What You Want. Those songs were very centrally hook driven.
Right.
God's Plan breaks all those rules. Drake does what he wants, per usual.
And you've got the singing rap of Post Malone on Psycho, which kind of didn't really exist back then. You either rapped or you sang back then. Now Post Malone, it's that new sound of rapping / singing, which Drake kind of pioneered on Hotline Bling in some ways.
Yeah. There is something to be said about at least how much more common and how less jarring it's gotten.
Right.
And he certainly has been a huge factor in that. But in general, I mean, I think the overall survey, as with most music, as with even a lot of pop music, you know, 2003 was a much, I don't know, it felt like a more sunnier, happier time. A lot of the music videos, you know, people on the block having, you know, cookouts and parties and at the beach, and, you know, it's just maybe not the same anymore.
My 2003 expertise, I could do a whole analysis of Unwell, Matchbox 20. He wasn't crazy. He was just a little unwell. There's my analysis.
I'm not crazy. Oh, he's also a little impaired. Right.
Right.
A different set. Yeah, that's right. Yeah. I'm glad you took something out of this whole discussion.
So also in the top 10, we heard back at number 9, Camila Cabello with Never Be the Same. And a couple weeks ago, got up number 6, its peak position, partly due to its new remix with Kane Brown, a country singer-songwriter. Remix came out, added to the song sales, and it jumped up to the top 10. And a listener has called us about that song and about that strategy on the Billboard Sharpie podcast hotline. Let's go to it to talk about it. 212-493-40-1.
Ooh, you better call the Chartbeat hotline, 212-493-4021.
Hi, my name is Gerald, and I'm calling from Mission, Kansas, and I'd just like to say that I am a real big fan of your podcast. I listen to you guys every week, and I just like that you guys are very insightful when it comes to your chart knowledge and different stats that you present, and how you like to really dig in there and analyze things. I really like listening to you guys, and I just wanted to say that I enjoy your podcast. I do actually have a question, because, you know, Camila Cabello, she just recently released a remix of Never Be the Same with Kane Brown, which, from what I could see, was definitely a big factor in helping her get into the top 10, because she had been kind of stuck in the top 20, or top 15, around 12, 13, whatever, for like the last few weeks. And then she released that remix, and it shot immediately to the top 10 right afterwards. I'm just wanting to know what are your guys' takes on that, because, you know, we kind of seen that recently with stuff like that Beyonce remix of Gente, helping that song get into the top 10, the Despacito thing with Justin Bieber, Cardi B and Finesse with Bruno Mars. So I'm just kind of wondering what are your guys' thoughts on this sort of new, well, not new, but a recent trend that's been happening with all the remixes coming out. And do you think that for Camila Cabello's chances, could this new remix actually aid his chart performance and help it get into the top 5 and possibly even to being her second number one? Well, anyway, again, I'm a big fan of your podcast, and yeah, thank you.
All right, great question about Camila, Never Be the Same, and the Kane Brown remix. I guess to answer the top 5 number 1 part, it looks like probably not going to hit even the top 5. Number 1 looks sort of out of reach at this point for Never Be the Same. It's down in sales and streaming, up a little bit in airplay, but looks like it's kind of had its peak, I think, at this point. So, yeah, probably not number 1, but yeah, the remix did help it get into the top 10 sales. Even though sales are down and streaming is up, there was enough of a boost that it got to number 1 on the digital song sales chart that week and helped Camila get another top 10. I think the question, Trevor, is kind of what do we think about that practice? Is it controversial at all?
I think there was a distinction that a lot of fan armies and chart watchers like to make. Let's say something like E.T., for example, because for those who, you know, sort of the story of E.T. is that It was a song on Katy Perry's album in 2010. Obviously, it was an album song. People had heard it or whatnot. When they decided to work it as a single, that's when the Kanye West remix came out. But the thing that I think people sort of are okay with is that when they decided it was going to be a single, the single that they promoted sort of actively most heavily was that remix version with Kanye West. I think we have a case like this where it's one of those things where the song is hot and it's moving up and it's moving up, but people notice it gets a little stuck, and then the remix comes out to sort of, you know, jump on, you know, hey, let's give it that last sort of push. I mean, if you want to think of the chart as, you know, I mean, everyone knows what the chart is. Everyone knows what the chart rules are. Everyone's got the opportunity to get somebody or not get somebody. There is that. But I do think, I guess maybe in the fan army public taste, it does seem a little like...
So you're saying it's different finesse. So we add Cardi B. It was a Bruno Mars song. But let's put out this remix from the start and make it a single, which kind of like E.T., Katy Perry, and Kanye as well. But you're saying it's a little different. If songs number 12, number 13, how do we get it just a little bit further?
Yeah, or if songs number, you know, 4, number 3, how do we get it to number 1?
Right.
I just think for some people, I guess the point might be, like, when we want to expose the public in large part to this song, that should be the version that I guess people think that you sort of go gung-ho with, all in with, the same way, you know, when it was, like Finesse, you know, they chose to make it a single. This is what we're going to do with it, and this is what we want to be the single while it's out there. And it's always interesting because you never know what may or may not have happened. You know, did Perfect need Beyonce in the end of it? Maybe not. You know, maybe it would have got there 3 weeks later, 2 weeks later. I mean, I don't have a problem with it, but when people say they have a problem with it or they don't like the way that that goes down, I can understand.
It's similar to, and we don't see this having as much of an effect as it did a few years ago, because again, sales are less than what they were, but it's kind of like the discounting songs to 69 cents on iTunes, which years ago really could be the difference to make a song top 10 or number 1 if there was enough of a discount, it caused enough of a sales gain. So yeah, sometimes you'd see a song was number 6 trying to get to number 5 or even push to number 1, labels would discount it, and yeah, that gets more people to buy it. It's, you know, it's not, I'm not sure, it's within the rules. Labels can promote everything as much as they want.
Yeah, it's not a legal trick or anything like that. Yeah.
Fan perception, I suppose, could be, maybe it's questionable to some people, but, you know, if nothing else, fans get a new remix of a song. So if it helps chart position at the same time, hopefully, you know, people are looking on the bright side of, hey, we got this new version. All right, talking about Perfect and Finesse, some of these songs that have been some of the biggest hits so far in 2018. Let's bring back our friends Dave and Yael Penn at Hit Songs Deconstructed to really do what they do and like no one else does, break down trends and compositional characteristics of top 10 hits on the Billboard Hot 100, specifically this week about what's made hits in the first quarter, the first few months of 2018. So let's get into all that right now again with Dave and Yael Penn from Hit Songs Deconstructed on the Billboard Chappie Podcast.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
I've been moving calm, don't start no trouble with me. Trying to keep it peaceful is a struggle for me.
Dave and Yael Penn, welcome back to the Sharpie Podcast.
Thank you for having us. Great to be back.
All right, great stuff last week when you guys were here with Havana. So we're going to take it beyond Havana. That was just one of the hits that's been so huge for this year. We figured here we are, summer's just about to start. Let's look back at Q1 and really find the biggest trends at what made songs hits for the first part of this year.
Sounds good. Absolutely.
Great. Thanks. So why don't we get started with an overview of Q1? There were 26 songs that charted in the top 10 of the Hot 100, and there were 3 number one hits. Drake's God's Plan spent the most time at number one at 9 weeks. It's a hip-hop and trap-influenced song with inspiration, religion, and lifestyle lyrical themes, conveyed by Drake with a combination of both sung and rapped deliveries. Ed Sheeran's and Beyoncé's version of Perfect spent 4 weeks at number one, and it's an acoustic guitar-driven pop ballad with an R&B influence and, not surprisingly, a love relationship lyrical theme. And last but not least is Camilo Cabello and Young Thug's Havana, which spent 1 week at number one during the quarter. And for a deep dive into Havana's compositional characteristics, you can check out our Havana Deconstructed Chartbeat podcast from last week.
Nice plug, yo.
Well, yeah, we'll keep that. We like that.
So, as you can see, the number one hits from Q1 were very diverse. Moving on, there were 11 record labels, 99 credited songwriters, 44 credited producers, and 34 performing artists, of which 97% are also credited songwriters, and 27% are also credited producers.
So you said, you know, 99 writers on 26 top tens.
Yes.
So that's mm-hmm. averaging to about four writers
exactly.
per top 10 hit these
yep.
days.
Yep.
Exactly. And some of the performing artists who made it back into the top 10 after being absent for a year or more were Florida Georgia Line, who collaborated with Bebe Rexha on Meant to Be.
If it's meant to be, it'll be, it'll be. Baby, just let it be. If it's meant to be, it'll be, it'll be. Baby, just let it be.
Hip-hop and trap influence in that song as well. Very big in country.
Last year when Sam Hunt, Body Like a Backroad, was in the top 10, same kind of thing.
Oh, yeah.
There were elements of that.
Oh, absolutely.
Florida yeah. yeah. Georgia Line, obviously not, you know, the most conservative country artist out there. So
that
it makes
true.
Sense. I mean, some people are saying that, you know, would you be surprised if there was like a Drake Florida Georgia Line collaboration at some point?
That would be very interesting.
They've worked with Nelly before.
Right,
I mean,
yeah.
they're keeping their eyes and ears open.
Yeah, true.
Right, and the last time that Florida Georgia Line was in the top 10 was back in 2013 with Cruz featuring Nelly. And the last time Bebe Rexha was in the top 10 was back in 2016 as a featured artist on Me, Myself, and I.
Interesting sort of, I don't even want to say arc, I guess just stepping stones for her. I forgot she was on for a while that the Hey Mama song with David Guetta
yeah,
and Nicki
yeah.
Minaj.
Nicki Minaj,
which
yeah,
was almost, exactly. I guess, probably 3-4 years ago at this point.
Yep.
So, you know, that kind of is one sound, of course, for her. Then I almost forgot she was on this G-Eazy song. And then now to do this country collaboration.
Yeah.
Interesting, you know.
Yeah. Evolution.
Yeah, and especially generally how a couple pop singers are sort of marketed as sort of these multi-genre forces. I mean, Maren Morris we see obviously doing, you know,
mm-hmm. yep.
her roots are in country, but doing sure. the middle now with Zedd and Grey and everybody.
Which doesn't
so.
Have that much of a country influence.
No, no, not at all. I don't think the boys in Nashville were pumped to hear that one. But, yeah, interesting how these new pop singers, that's their new sort of way to get around.
Yeah, she's a very talented songwriter as well.
The Monster.
Ah.
Yeah.
Ah.
I'm making my own pop
You're
quizzes.
Right. You're right.
Yeah.
So I know the answer.
Congratulations.
Wow. Oh.
I'm going to throw one more back out at you guys. So who is a featured artist who is back in the top 10? And the last time he was in the top 10 was as a primary artist in 2014.
Oh.
Chris Brown.
Yep,
yeah.
You got
yeah.
it.
Nice,
Chris
man.
Breezy.
Nice. When a rich nigga wants you. Your nigga can't do nothing for you.
And one more artist that's back in the top 10 is Justin Timberlake with Filthy and Say Something. The last time he was in the top 10 was back in 2016 with the number one hit, Can't
Stop
the
Feeling.
Nice.
Exclamation point.
Exclamation point. When you dance, 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 feel good, good creeping up on you, so just dance, dance.
a little different than his current is.
Okay, so now let's take a look at some of Q1's top performers. Dave?
Thanks, Yael. So there were four songs that spent 10 weeks or more in the top 10 in Q1. Havana Imperfect spent the most at 14, followed by Finesse and Rockstar, each of which spent 11. Looking at some key commonalities between them, all four possess an R&B influence, are 3 minutes 30 seconds or longer, and are duets. Three of the four have a hip-hop influence, feature a combination of sung and rap vocals, feature a love relationship lyrical theme, are a female-male duet, have their tempo landing between 80 and 109 beats per minute, are in a minor key, and contain three chorus sections in their framework. Now, on the other end of the spectrum, let's see what characteristics really help these songs to stand out and get noticed. With Havana, it's the dominant Cuban Latin-influenced acoustic piano and the use of trumpet, both of which are quite rare in the top 10. And then, of course, there's the nonsense vocal, which appears 75 times throughout the song in a host of infectious vocal hooks. With Perfect, it's the prominent use of acoustic guitar and not containing any drums, both of which are quite atypical. And then, of course, there's the superstar pairing of Sheeran and Beyoncé, which no doubt helped catapult the song to the top. And it's interesting to note that Perfect was the first Ed Sheeran duet to chart in the top 10 of the Hot 100.
Barefoot on the grass, while listening to our favorite song, when I saw you in that dress, looking so beautiful, I don't deserve this. Darling, you look perfect tonight.
Ed Sheeran, the ballad master. With Finesse, it's the 1990s throwback R&B, hip-hop, and funk qualities, and the superstar pairing between Bruno Mars and Cardi B. And this was the first Bruno Mars duet to chart in the top 10 since Uptown Funk, and the only one that features a female guest artist.
Duet. Uptown Funk, a duet. Aw, man. Come on. I know. I get it. But, aw, come on.
It is, to a degree.
I understand that's what the, you know, what the paper says. Mark Ronson featuring Bruno Mars, but I'm just saying, Bruno Mars could perform it live by himself. Mark, you know.
I'm not disputing you. I'm just going by the facts here, so. Now, with Rockstar, it possesses intriguing Rockstar lifestyle lyrics, which provides the song with a unique spin, and it features a very similar vocal melody in both the chorus and verse sections, which is quite rare. But as you could gather, this quality really helped to get the song ingrained in the listener's head. So the excerpts that we're going to listen to are the chorus, followed by the first verse, and then the second verse, so you could hear the similarities between them.
I've been fucking hoes and popping pillies, man, I feel just like a rock star. All my brothers got that gas and they always be smoking like a rock star. Switch my whip, came back in black, I'm starting saying rest in peace to Bon Scott. Close that door, we blowing smoke, she asked me light a fire like a Mars song.
I've been in the hills, fucking superstars, feeling like a pop star. Drinking any bad bitches, jumping in the pool, and I ain't got on no bra.
So the same melody reinforced across different sections, just changing up the lyrics and the aspects of the delivery to help keep it fresh and engaging as well. That's it for me. So let's turn it back to Yael with some more trends.
So looking at some key compositional trends for Q1, Just over half of the songs in the top 10 feature exclusively male vocals. Two-thirds are in a minor key, and one-third have a featured artist. Over the past two quarters, songs featuring duet or group vocals rose from 35% to 54% of the top 10 and surpassed songs with single lead vocals in Q1. Songs containing a combination of sung and rapped vocals were the most popular in Q1 with 46% of songs. Lifestyle was the most popular lyrical theme, not love relationships as one might expect, and it was a theme in 50% of songs. The theme was followed by love relationships and boasting. Average tempo has been decreasing year over year since 2013, dropping from 104 beats per minute to 90 in 2017. And in Q1, the average tempo was 87 beats per minute. Now, switching gears to primary genres, country had another entry in Q1, which was the Florida Georgia Line and BB REXA collaboration, Meant to Be. Hip-hop reached its highest level of prominence in at least 5 years. 46% of the top 10 were in the hip-hop genre, while only 23%, that's half, were in pop. And when you look at songs this quarter to date in Q2, 63% are in the hip-hop genre and just 16% are pop. Big drop. So as far as influences go, in Q1, 85% of the top 10 possessed a hip-hop influence, 69% a trap influence, and 65% an R&B influence. And we've seen a steady increase in songs possessing an R&B influence during the past four quarters. It rose from 36% of songs in the top 10 in Q2 2017 to 65% in Q1 of 2018. Now, on the flip side, tropical as an influence took a nosedive. It's present in just 4% of the top 10, which is its lowest level in 3 years. Now, looking at Latin as an influence, it made a very quick appearance back in Q4 of 2015 due to the percussion utilized in Ariana Grande's Focus. Then, after being dormant for a little over a year, it sprung back to life in Q2 2017 thanks to Latin crossover hits Despacito and Mi Gente, as well as pop hits that embrace the influence like Havana and Wild Thoughts. And the latest Latin-influenced song to enter the top 10 was Cardi B's I Like It, which charted in the top 10 late last month. So while tropical is in decline, let's see if Latin really takes off in the summer as many people expect it to.
Any Hail Mary guesses out there of what Latin can eventually evolve into?
Of what Latin can evolve into? Hmm. That's a good question.
I mean, I guess there's some. I mean,
okay, you have a hypothesis, yeah. Don't you?
No, I don't. Because I was thinking, I'm like running out of like genres that I can think of, like reggae I knew and tropical and I'm like, where can I think something next would fit? And I'm sure there's something out there. I'm sure I'm very ignorant, but I'm just trying to.
What I was going to say is, what's really interesting is when you look at these memes or trends in the top 10, and you see over the years how you had the funk explosion, which was kind of tied into the 70s and the 80s explosion, in like 2015 or whatever. And so that was all tied in as that was kind of fizzling out. Then you had the whole, reggae evolving into tropical. Then that was fizzling out. Then you have Latin. The one that's going to be really interesting to see, though, is what happens with trap. Because trap has been around for a long time, influencing the sound of hip-hop and in the pop mainstream as well. So I think that I'd be more interested to see what's going to evolve in hip-hop and what, mainstream artists are going to adopt from that into their own sound. That's going to be the next evolution, I think.
Do you also think, sort of in another genre category, you talked about like 70s and 80s influence, and everyone kind of says everything comes back around in 20 years or whatnot.
Yeah.
We see Bruno obviously bringing a huge 90s influence.
Sure.
Do you think that is a path forward for R&B, because a lot of R&B right now is very sort of moody, melancholy, brooding. It's not nearly the big melisma vocals that people sort of historically think it is. And I'm curious where R&B
could
go. You
can't stay so minor so long, or just so like heavy so long.
Yeah, yeah. People get tired of that. You
know, it weighs on you a little bit. Yeah, I mean, so, you know, and it's interesting that you bring up Bruno Mars because he's really been there through the years, like, you know, evolving from, say, like a Locked Out of Heaven, Police kind of like 70s, 80s retro sound, and then becoming, you know, more 70s, 80s with Uptown Funk, and then Treasure, another, you know, like there was that like 70s, like Get Lucky, Blurred Lines time, that was in the top 10 at the same time. So it's the next logical progression for him to maybe now go into the 90s, and, you know, finesse is proof in the pudding. So it'd be, be really interesting if that really puts a shift into R&B. But also you got to remember that Bruno Mars is in the class of his own. You know, he's got his own vibe. So whether, you know, he sets the meme, maybe like he did in the past, or just keeps it for himself, we'll see. I don't know. Good question, though.
All right, well, you've got your work cut out for you for the next quarter.
Yeah. And no more three J. Cole songs in the top 10 at the same time. Come on. Enough.
They get take it up with the people.
All right. Thank you, guys. As always, we'll have you back again soon.
Pleasure as always. Thank you.
Thank you.
It's always great to be here.
Kids out there who may not know, former number one hit on the Hot 100 back in 1976, Love Hangover by the incomparable Diana Ross. Now, what makes that song cool is, of course, this week back in 1976, that song was hitting number one. But that isn't the only time that you may hear some of those opening notes in a number one hit. If you flash forward from 1976, go 22 years ahead into 1998, you may hear, and listen closely, the beginning notes of Love Hangover that sound like this. See if you notice anything about this number one hit, The First Night by Monica.
You were right.
There we go. So one of those interesting situations in which a number one hit is later sampled, reworked into another number one hit. So that's what we're going to look at this week on the flashback. A few other examples. Some pretty well known in history. So looking at Love Hangover and The First Night, a sample, we might give this an interpolation, maybe an influenced by category. But if you, of course, remember the big hit from last year, Shape of You by Ed Sheeran, you'll remember a little bit of controversy about a TLC hit that it allegedly borrowed from, lifted from, was inspired by. Here's the part of Shape of You that we're talking about. Singing like, girl, you know I want your love. Your love was handmade for somebody like me. Come on now, follow my lead. I may be crazy, don't mind me, say boy. And if that sounds in any way familiar to you, it may be because another massive hit that has long lived on in pop culture, TLC's No Scrubs, goes a little like this. Luckily, or smartly, I guess, to avoid a lawsuit, Ed Sheeran and company quickly tacked on the writers of No Scrubs as writers of Shape of You. So I guess in their eyes, they thought that there was a pretty substantial overlap there as well.
Yeah, you can hear it. You can definitely hear it. Listen to those two clips back to back.
And it probably made those No Scrubs writers a lot more money. all right. Same situation in 2017, a little later in the year. Talking earlier on the podcast about Taylor Swift, her big return last year with Look What You Made Me Do. A lot of people noted that it also had a little familiarity with a hit from 25 years before. So here's the part of Look What You Made Me Do that had people going to the history books. Oh, look what you made me do.
Look what you made me do. Look what you just made me do. Look what you just made me do.
Because, according to several people, it sounds like maybe not a hit that you would think Taylor Swift might pull from, but the classic novelty hit, I'm Too Sexy, Right Said Fred.
I'm too sexy for my shirt. Too sexy for my shirt. So sexy it hurts. And I'm too sexy for Milan. Too sexy for Milan. New York and Japan.
Of course, the probably most infamous scenario in the past couple of years. Not quite a sample either. I promise you all, we'll get to like actual samples, but feels like we can't not mention the infamous Blurred Lines 2013, coming up on 5 years. Robin Thicke, Pharrell, T.I. Again, I guess legally ripping off. I guess it's been sort of settled law at this point. Got to Give It Up by Marvin Gaye. In any case, the two songs in contention, both number one hits, Blurred Lines in 2013. And apparently too close of a descendant for the Gaye's family liking of Marvin Gaye's last number one hit on the Hot 100 back in 1977. You know it, I know it, we got to give it up. So those are some more interpolation kind of influences for some actual samples. So this segment is not a lie. Let's go back to 1999 for Will Smith, Kool Moe Dee, and Drew Hill. The theme to Wild Wild West, called Wild Wild West. When I bounce into the Wild Wild West, it's cold.
I wish
that is the song. Stevie Wonder back in 1977, number one hit off the classic album Songs in the Key of Life. So a direct sample there. We'll do one that's maybe a little harder. Little harder. This one is more of an instrumental sample, if you want to call it that. So not quite as easy as this one. There's a very specific sound that gets sampled. So we'll give you the harder one. It is from the number one hit by Herb Alpert, Rise, from 1979. Here is the specific sound that is sampled later in a massive number one hit. Here's what it sounds like.
Notorious B.I.G.
It's the Notorious B.I.G. Do you know what song that's in? The song is called Hypnotize. And repeats several times throughout the chorus. So a little Herb Alpert, Biggie connection there as well. And we'll give Gary one last one. All right, the song is actually somebody who's been in here recently, pretty recently. Our friend Shaggy. The song is Angel.
So it samples the bass line from The Joker by Steve Miller, but also the chorus melody is from Angel in the Morning by Juice Newton.
Some people call me the space cowboy. Yeah. Some call me the gangster of love.
So look at that, Shaggy, a master of fusion.
Right.
Who would have thought?
Sample and a remix.
You could take, the Steve Miller Band, link it up with the country singer from the 1980s in Juice Newton, and then have a reggae-inspired number one hit in the 2000s. Now, to be fair, I will have to say that if the category was about number one hits, sampling number one hits, the Joker has to be the answer.
Oh, that's
but
true.
We'll give Gary partial credit for coming up with the Juice Newton, because I didn't think he was going to know any of that. So that's pretty good. So in any case, there we go. Starting with Love Hangover. Some of the big hits that have turned around, been sampled, interpolated, inspired other major hits as well. Of course, we're seeing hits that continue to inspire hits. And even going forward, even just now, we see, you know, X Factor inspiring Nice for What, number two this week on the Hot 100. So it's a pattern that has obviously stood the test of time, and I'm sure it will continue to for many years to come.
That's a pretty smart strategy. You take a number one hit. If it worked once, might work again.
There you go. You saved yourself half the work.
All right. There's this week's Billboard Sharpie podcast. We'll talk to you next week. BTS, of course, performed on the BBMAs on Sunday. New song, Fake Love. Amazing reaction. You could just tell watching it on TV from the crowd on that song. Can it become a radio hit? We're going to go back to J.J. Ryan at KJYO in Oklahoma City. He's been on the podcast before. It's really the station in the U.S. that's been leading on every BTS single in the last year or so. So the station is playing Fake Love already. 31 plays in the past week. No one else even comes close. So we'll get J.J.'s thoughts on Fake Love. And could this be yet another breakthrough? Maybe their biggest yet on U.S. radio. We'll talk to J.J. and find out next week.
And we'll keep an eye out. Of course, a new Drake song out, Lil Baby, debuts this week at number 49 on the Hot 100. After a few days, blowing up these streaming platforms, could make a jump next week. Is there another top 10 hit in Drake's future? I'm sure at some point the answer, of course, is yes. But will it be next week? And will it be this song? We'll find out.
All right. And keep calling us on the Billboard Sharpie Podcast Hotline at 212-493-4021. We'll keep answering your great questions here on the podcast. We should close, Trevor, with another song that fits this theme of sampling hits or number one hits. Can I do an honorable mention since I already mentioned Mariah once? Can we do another Mariah song?
Okay. What did...
We Belong Together, 2005. Doesn't really... sample, but in the lyrics, this is sort of a whole different version of how you can sample a song. She kind of throws out some lyrics from a hit from 1988 that was a top 10 hit, not a number one, but sort of a lyrical.
Okay, well, the two names that come up are Bobby Womack,
right,
who I don't think you're going after.
I was mentioning the one that I knew.
I'm sure. Okay, then we're going Babyface.
We can share it.
Okay.
Babyface, she mentions I Only Think of You, which is the start of the chorus. I Only Think of You on Two Occasions by The Deal. Babyface's act before it became the huge writer of hits in the 90s.
And we'll see you on one occasion in particular next week. Until then, enjoy this Babyface classic.